What's up, everybody? I absolutely love doing this show. This has been such a wonderful opportunity for me, and it has been amazing the things that I've been able to experience in such a short time. I really appreciate all the support that we've been getting, all the love that we've been getting. Last time I checked, it seems like I think we're up in like 7 different countries: Russia, New Zealand, Japan, Hungary, Canada. Canada popped up the other day, so that's amazing to me. I love doing it. That was the whole intention, was being able to spread this energy and spread this love and expand people's minds, and it looks like it's working. It looks like the thing that I wanted to happen is actually happening. Thank you for listening, everybody, and of course, we've got to thank our sponsors. Crystal Water Float Spa, located in Tooele, Utah. It's 40 West Vine Street. Go online and find them at crystalwaterfloat.com, and also find them on Facebook at Crystal Water Float Spa. Get in a tank already. Go back and listen to the episode that we did with the guys from Float On, and you can learn a lot about floating and the ways that it's going to help you spiritually, mentally, physically, all these benefits from floating, from just laying back in a tank full of salt water, for hell's sakes. Get out there, go float, get in a tank. You're going to love it. Go to Crystal Water, go find their stuff. We have to thank DeBry Man. DeBry Man's been sponsoring small businesses for the past 10 years. Podcast wouldn't be what it is without the help from DeBry Man. If you're loving the show, go check us out on Facebook at the Energy is Love Podcast. Email us, energyislovepodcast@gmail.com. If you like the show, subscribe. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play Music, tons of places. Basically, if there's a place to find a podcast, you can find our podcast. Send us some love. Subscribe. We'd love to hear from you. Leave a comment. Send us an email. Message us on Facebook. Let us know what you guys think. We love to get some feedback and some ideas. And just know that you're enjoying the show and that you're out there listening. Become a sponsor of the show. We are heard in over 7 countries across the world. We have over 200 subscribers. Contact us and let us know if you're interested, because we always, always would love to have more sponsors. Let us help you spread your message. Let us help you expand your business, your gifts, what you're doing for the universe. You know, even if you want to give us love in the form of cash, by all means, we're going to take it. We have a GoFundMe page set up. There's a link to it through our Facebook page. Go find it. Send us some love. Let us take your cash and turn it into energy, and then spread the message across the globe and shoot it out into the universe. If you want to be on the show, contact us. We're always looking for people. New and interesting people. If you've got a good message and you want to get it out there, if you want to share your story, if you're liking what we're doing, contact us and we can come out and interview you. We'd love to sit down with you, whoever you are. Yeah, you, I'm talking to you. We want to sit down and talk to you. We want to hear about your journey, your story. We want to hear about how the universe and your love of energy has changed your life. So contact us on Facebook. Email us at theenergyislovepodcast@gmail.com. The universe spins on energy. Energy is just love. And this is the Energy is Love Podcast. Love is energy. On today's show, I have the special honor of sitting down with Alice Christensen. Alice is a dear, sweet friend of mine. She's somebody that has played a very big role in my life when it came to my journey and my spiritual awakening. She hosts a share group every week at her home, and that's where I learned initially about energy, in a sense, and all the different aspects of spirituality and energy work and all those amazing things. Since meeting her, she's been a great friend, a great mentor, a great teacher. The modality that I was trained in is Theta Healing, and I was certified by Alice. It's been an amazing journey knowing Alice. She's been somebody that has been there for me all along. I was super happy to sit down with her. I loved this episode. I love visiting with Alice any chance that I get. Her and I'll sit and chat for hours and explore some of the crazy things that exist out there in the realm of the universe and in spirituality. And when she started her journey down this path, and now she works with clients on a regular basis, she hosts a share group that meets every week. She teaches classes. She puts on retreats. She's somebody that is really involved and really connected, and she's benefited a great number of people, and myself included. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode with the amazing Alice Christensen. Stay tuned, because it's about to get crazy.
You're listening to the Energy is Love Podcast.
Energy is Love.
The Energy is the Love Podcast.
The Energy is Love Podcast.
Energy is Love.
The Energy is Love Podcast.
The podcast for the universe.
The Energy is Love Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Here we are again with the Energy is Love Podcast, and I'm super excited for today's episode. My guest today is Alice Christensen. I have known Alice for quite some time, and she's been a big, big part of kind of my journey and my experience into the realm of spirituality and the universe and everything like that. So good morning, Alice. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for taking the time. So, Alice, I want to start off with first off, just tell people just a little bit about yourself.
That's always the hard part. I have to talk about me. I'm going to say that growing up, I would just see people with special gifts and abilities and think, wow, how would it be to be gifted and be awesome and be special? And I would just say that my journey has taught me that each and every one of us are special. Every one of us are awesome. And every one of us are gifted. And so that opened up a whole new world for me to be able to share that in the world, to help people to see their gifts. And it's just been an amazing, exciting journey. I love every part of my life. And I can't say that I always felt that way. There was a lot of times in my life where it seemed very difficult, very hard. And I would always think that there has to be more than this. So I'm going to say the more than this in life is what has been the driver behind me that says, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to go find it because there has to be more than this.
You're going to go find it.
Yeah. So it's been fun.
And so this is going to be kind of funny because I know a lot about you. Obviously, you and I are good friends and we've talked a lot and everything like that. So I know quite a bit about your journey, your experience and things like that. And obviously the listener may not. So we have to share a little bit of it and we have to talk a little bit about it. But let's go all the way back to your childhood and some of the experiences that you had growing up that you can kind of recall and re-remember when it comes to now looking at it. You can be like, that was energy. That was my experience. That was my connection to the universe, just not really understanding it or realizing it.
Sure. I have a really outstanding one. And yet kind of a scary one, and it's a premonition of death. So I was visiting with my grandmother, and I remember thinking, she had asked me to braid her hair, and I remember thinking, I'm so sorry that your time is up. And then I thought, oh, where did that thought come from? Chase it away.
How old were you?
I was a sophomore, so I was 16. And I remember, because I had my car, I'd just gotten my driver's license, so I had driven to my grandma's house by myself. And then I remember being out in my car and thinking, I'm going to live in her house when she's gone. And then I thought, that's a long ways away. Wow, where are these thoughts coming from? And again, I pushed it away. And the very next day, I was talking with my mom in the morning. And I said, oh, yeah, yesterday afternoon, I stopped by after school and visited with Grandma. I said, but I just had the weirdest feeling, Mom, that she's not okay. And my mom just looked at me and her face dropped. And she said, I've got to go to your grandma's. And I just thought, wow, that's crazy. But a little bit later, my mom called and she said, I found your grandma dead. Get your dad and tell him to come over here. And all of a sudden, it was like, how did I know that? That I'm just totally freaked out right now because that is so weird. And there's a guilt part of it that said, what could I have done?
Yeah, what do you
that would have saved my grandma? You
so
know?
Was it the next day?
It was the very next morning. So during the night, she had passed in her sleep, which is a blessing and a wake, awful way to go, awesome way to go. But yeah. At the same time, just a lot of mixed emotions. So, you know, and it's one of those things that you really, really want to kind of push it behind you, like, oh, that did just not happen. No way. But yet, looking back, as I've had these other experiences, it's a tapping in to say, these moments have happened throughout my whole entire life, mm-hmm. You know, different things that come up. And all of us have that ability to say, okay, that was random and weird. Let's push that one away. But the journey teaches you that to embrace each one of those moments and to see that as a gift. And I got to have a very special moment with my grandmother before she passed.
Yeah.
So there's blessings in it, and there's always that emotional hard side of it, but that just kind of moves you into that space and always looking back. And some of us have to. I mean, we don't want to live in our past, but our greatest lessons that we learn in life are from looking at our past and choices we've made and, you know, what's moved us to where we are today. And always that possibility of, if I look at those things and I look at the choices I've made, what changes do I want to make moving forward?
Yeah. So that's when you're 16 years old, and then we'll fast forward, and your spiritual journey, in a sense, kind of when you started down the path of exploration into the realm of all the different things that exist out there, that's been like 15, 20 years, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Pretty close to that, yes. So we call it midlife crisis, and maybe many of us have it, but I'm going to say I hit my 30s and just thought, I get up every day and go to work. I take my children to my mother for daycare. I go home and fix dinner, and I do it again. And I feel disconnected from my family. I feel that there's got to be more to life than this job I'm doing every day. So all of those things just felt like I was a robot moving through time, but not really embracing anything. It was, maybe you could call it survival mode. I'm surviving each day so I can get up and do that again tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I'm going to say, when I hit that place of, there has to be more to life than this. I cannot imagine my life moving forward in this same monotonous routine day after day. There has to be something else. And that was my moment of like, well, what else would that be? And as soon as you open yourself up, amazing people show up in your life. When you start to ask the question, then it's like, well, if you really want to know, look at this.
What was the first thing that kind of sparked everything for you? So you had that thought, you had that idea, and then you, like you said, when you ask and you start to kind of open up to it, then the universe says, well, here you go. So what was the first thing for you that you kind of started to look into?
So the very first thing that set me off was I traveled a lot. I worked for IBM Corporation, which is a huge worldwide corporation, and my job was a trainer and a traveler. And I covered like the whole Mountain West region. And getting on a plane for me and traveling meant migraine. Here comes the headache. I will be miserable the whole time I'm gone. And then I'm going to come home and it's going to take me a few days to get better.
Yeah.
So again, it's that whole monotonous, just, I just got to get through it. So I am in Arizona and I'm teaching a class. And one of the people that I had gotten to know really well in Arizona said, are you okay? And I said, you know what? Anytime I travel, I'm not okay. And I'm really worried that I'm going to lose my job because here I'm supposed to be training people and I feel so miserable all the time that... And she said, would you mind coming into the restroom with me and I'll work on your headache? And I thought, wow, at this point, I'll try anything, but that sounds rather weird. So I went into the restroom with her and she put her hands on my shoulders and on my neck and on the top of my head. And I thought, all right, then, thanks. That was cool, I guess, but I got to get back to teaching. And it wasn't until I was standing there in front of the classroom and I'm talking to them and all of a sudden I went, wait a minute. I don't have a headache. I feel great. What did she do to me? And so now my mind is being distracted from teaching because I just can't wait to get back to this lady and say, what did you do to me? My headache's gone. And so when my class was done for the day, I beelined for her desk and said, tell me more. I don't know what that was, but I need more information because I think this is something that I've been looking for and here you are. Mm-hmm. And she just would say, when you go home, read this book. And I'd read the book and I'd call her up and we'd have a little chit chat. And she'd say, now go get this book. And there were many of them. So Cry On was part of it with Lee Carroll. There was the Brian Katie works. I mean, it just one thing led to another. And I even got to the point where I would just go to the store and say, there's got to be a book in here that's just for me.
Yeah.
And finding that special book. So I'm going to say I buried myself for 2 years in books. Reading, and everything I'd read, it would be so exciting. Like, wow, is that even a possibility? Wow, that would just be so cool. And so it was opening those doors to my mind that says I'm expanding and I'm allowing more in. But then I got to this place that said, this is all in my head. I'm reading. I need to talk. I need to bounce my ideas off another human being. And I need someone to maybe validate me and say, you know what? You're on the right track. Mm-hmm. And that just started me going to the website and looking for different things. And I'm going to call this a blessing because one of the first things I found was Vianna Stiebel. She was in Idaho and she did this thing called Theta Healing. And I thought, I need to go. It feels right. It feels like more information. It's actual people. It's a class. And the next part was explaining to my husband that I wanted to go off to this thing called Theta Healing.
Up in Idaho somewhere with some strange lady.
Yeah, and I'm going by myself. And he's like, what? I don't know if I'm okay with this. And I said, I travel all over the country by myself. I think I can do this.
Yeah.
So I went and a most amazing experience. It was just, it was absolutely life-changing. Not only the teaching in the class, but the experience I had in that space. And everything, again, so I had opened myself up and said, I need validation. And it was like every time I turned around, either another student, another trainer, or Vianna herself was just validating, validating. And I just came home, and I know my husband said, I don't know what you're doing, but I think I like it because it's like you float anymore. And so really, whether he saw my feet on the ground or not, there was that element of just lightness and floating.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, I think sometimes people get on their path, get on their journey of exploration and kind of looking and diving into things after some sort of like really not just midlife crisis, but some traumatic event or some near-death experience or something that really, you know, changes their life and forces them into a space of kind of looking for more. But for you, it wasn't necessarily that tragic experience. It wasn't that, you know, huge life-altering thing. And I think a lot of people have that too, where they just kind of get to a point throughout their monotonous everyday survival mode where they're like, there has to be more. There has to be more. So that's a great lesson in of itself. If you're at that point where you feel like there's more, just ask and start watching and looking and seeing. Theta, first off, let's talk about that a whole bunch, because that's a really, really big thing, obviously, for both of us. When I met you, it was in your share group. My mom dragged me. That's our whole story about how we met and everything and blah, 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 blah. But we got to the point where I came to one of your Theta classes, and that was really life-changing for me as well. And that really opened up a whole bunch of different ideas and beliefs and ways of looking at things. And it was really life-altering for me in my own space and things like that. But for people that aren't familiar with Theta, you'll obviously do a much better job. When I try to describe it to people, I feel like I fail miserably. But describe to people what Theta is, what Theta healing is all about, the idea and the concept behind it.
I would love to do that, but I will tell you that I will probably feel just like you, like it's the hardest thing to explain to someone. So I'm going to begin the conversation by saying some things in life are experiences, and all the words that I can put around it would never do what the experience would do for someone. So keeping that in mind as I move forward with my explanation of Theta healing, I just need everyone out there to know that this is something that until you experience it, you can read the book, you can do a lot of things, but it is in the experience that things click for you. Theta healing is working with your theta brainwave. Every single one of us use our theta brainwave all, you know, in and out, mostly in our sleep time. It's our REM sleep. You'll see fluttering of the eyes if you were having a sleep study done, and they'll say, you know, you've gone into your theta or deep state of sleep. Everyone has experienced it. There are also people who spend a lot of time in deep meditation, and they can also reach that theta brainwave state. This is a process where through, I'm going to say visually in your mind, and it's not with your eyes, it is just imagining, like all of us can imagine in our minds, traveling into the space of pure white light and creation. And at the moment you do that, it is an instantaneous theta space. If you were connected to the EEG machines, it would show that whole process of the brainwave slowing down into that theta state. There are also physical aspects. I want to tell you that there are many of you out there who naturally do this all the time and just don't realize you're doing it. So again, the training teaches you like, oh, wait, this is so normal for me and this is so comfortable for me. And then you think like, oh, something must be wrong. I'm doing something wrong here. But there are many, many people who are just natural. Craig was a natural. The minute I watched him close his eyes and receive energy, he would go into an instant theta state. And I knew for him the training would be amazing, because when someone is a natural at it, it opens up so many doorways, windows, hallways, whatever you want to call those things you travel through in your mind, but it is just a real light up of the entire brain process. So once you learn this connection, it is, I'm going to say, not only does it enhance your five senses that you have, your hearing seems to improve, your eyesight, when you taste something, there's just so much more. It's like all the cells vibrate and you're connected to that. And it's just a life-changing experience. It also opens up your psychic abilities. So when we talk about sixth sense, whether it's seeing, hearing, feeling, knowing, it's that connectedness. And when you're in that state, a flood of information will come to you. And in that flood of information, sometimes it takes just a moment to sort through it, to go, wow, that was way more than I know what to do with, but to keep on track with what it is you're focused on. So it's just an experience of connecting with someone and knowing, and I say knowing because I don't want to talk about our five senses, just knowing where is a discomfort in that person, or where is there an emotional block, or where is there something that seems to be holding them back. And you may not have the instant answer, but there are bits and pieces of information that as you work with another person, it's like an uncovering and an opening up. And I'm going to like pause in the whole theta process to say, once again, as a theta practitioner, you are a witness. You're not doing anything. You're not changing anything. You are holding a space for that person across from you to embrace their gifts and abilities and to allow something to happen for themselves. So I perceive in the world out there, there are many, many people who kind of have a little bit of an ego, and that I do this, or I see this for you, or
I don't think it's a little ego. Sometimes it's a big ego.
Right. And the one thing that I try to hold very true to my heart, and I repeat it a million times, is that no matter what our gifts are, the only gift that Creator gives us is the ability to witness and to watch magic happen. Mm-hmm. We are not in any way a transformative piece of it. It is so much bigger than us. And I know that ego can get in the way, because sometimes it feels like, wow, wasn't that amazing what I just did for you? But actually, all someone can do for someone else is hold a space of high vibration so that gifts can flow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been a process for me in practicing theta and working with that and the energy and everything like that, is kind of getting over that hump of, wow, look what I just did. And like you said, it's really important to remember that. And I think that's the case with all energy work, regardless of what modality it is. And the people that you find that are not just really good at what they do, but also coming from a place of really kind of truth, they realize that as well, that they're really just holding space for the person sitting before them. They're not doing anything. This is the other thing, too, that kind of happened for me when I learned Theta. I had had some energy work done. I had some readings and some sessions and things like that. But then the more I dived into it and the more that I learned, and after going through and getting certified as a Theta practitioner and things like that, I would go and sit before somebody and have a little session. And I would just realize, I'd be sitting there watching them. I'd be like, they might be reading cards, or they might be doing something else, or they would call whatever it is that they're doing. And I'm like, you're just doing Theta. Like, I don't see why you're calling it something else. And the reality is, I think it doesn't matter what we label it. I think everybody's going to that same source, that same place, in just different ways. But I think that's always funny how people will label it something different, or they're channeling this information or that information. I'm like, no, you're just going to that same source, and you're sitting there watching, and then you're coming back and talking about it. But I loved that about realizing, and like you said, a lot of times when you start down the process of learning Theta, it's kind of just realizing, especially if you're naturally inclined to it, oh, I've always done this. This is kind of what I've always done. And that was a really big thing for me when I learned it. It was just like, wow, this is kind of always the way that I've seen or experienced things, even though I didn't have a way to define or parameters to put it in. And that really helped me embrace it even more, and then kind of excel when it came to opening up to it.
Exactly. And that's so perfect, because that's just, and everyone out there, creation is creation. Our gifts is when we open our vibration to that space, and however that happens. So there's this little joke I have about us in the material world. Rather, I need to hold a crystal to amp up my energy, lay out my special cards, and get myself connected. We all have, I'm going to call it our human practice that says, this is me getting ready to go out there into that great universe and connect in a most amazing way with all that is, and to bring forth that energy into this space for whoever is going to sit across from me, that I may witness and see in them all their amazing gifts and abilities, and hopefully in some way be able to communicate to them how amazing they are to help them on their journey. I'm going to say another huge, huge piece in all of this to me has been validation. And that was a part of it, I'm going to say, in what I heard you just say. It was validating that not only have I done this all my life, but now I can put it into a context and understand it. I can grow it. I can make it bigger because I now have knowledge that I did not have before.
Yeah.
And so whether you call it knowledge or validation, to me, that is the expansion. It's the expansion of humankind that we will always question, we will always search. And it's when we ask the question and then we watch the validation or the knowledge show up for us, and then we move forward in that. And I think it's just so amazing. So I'm going to say my passion above all of all my gifts, all of my abilities, anything that I've practiced and I've learned, is that element of when... So in my experience, getting to watch you, when the eyes light up and you go, wait a second, I've been doing this forever, but now I can even do it better, and now I'm more connected, and now I'm learning more. So a true passion for me, I have to say, is just to be in that space and watch people wake up, see who they really are, and then not let anything be the binds that hold them back, not their beliefs. Not, you know, it's a constant work. All of us are layered and layered in what I'm going to call beliefs, just how the world works, how our communities work, how our government works. And we're all like a little bit like drones, I'm going to say. We're programmed that, you know, this is conformity. This is what works. And not I'm saying that we all need to be renegades and bandits or anything like that, but to know that we have the potential to just push all of that away from us and say, no, that's not me. That's not what I would have chosen. And I also think that when you think of learning and wisdom, the knowledge of our history and our past, when you look at that and wonder where some of those beliefs come from, is just an amazing process. And then you really get that opportunity to ask yourself, so am I going to continue to believe this, or should I just let that one go?
Yeah. Yeah. Was Theta the first modality that you learned?
Theta was the first modality that I learned. And, you know, of course, then you kind of get excited like, wow, there's got to be more than even this out there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I have trained in Reiki. I've trained in hypnosis. I did quantum touch. I've done some NLP. So, again, all of the gambit of all those wonderful tools. And the one thing that I will say at the end of the day, like you were just saying, everyone's doing a Theta pretty much. Different tools, different methodologies, different ways to get there. Some different belief systems that are attached to each one as you kind of learn the history and the background of them.
Yeah.
But again, I will say in my 20 years of experience that I've had so far, I've not met anything that I said, wow, that tops Theta. It just has not been my experience, because I would look at anything. So I'm going to just use this as an example. But in Reiki, a person opens themselves up to allow that universal energy to flow through them and into someone. Very healing, very calming, very wonderful. But as I'm learning this, in the back of my mind, my brain is going, wow, there's an emotional block there. That's a belief system that if they release, that would just be gone. This little ache over here in their hip, it's because, you know, they're carrying this emotion here and they're dragging it along. And I'm just, so to me, always I was at this place where that said, you know, I can keep doing running energy and it feels wonderful, but I'll see you again in a few weeks. Or, you know, if we could take a minute, let's just get rid of that block and that block, and I think you're going to be cured. So that part of it to me is why I've not ever said, wow, that tops Theta. I'm still searching, because maybe I'll find that. But at this point, I have not.
You know, I think that, and Theta's just a label. It's just something, do you know what I mean? It's no different than anything else. And granted, it's something that you resonated and connected with. It's something that I did as well. And it doesn't really matter, I think, where people get drawn to and everything like that. There's not some modality out there that tops the other ones, or that it's this perfect one and this is the only true form of energy work or anything like that. It's really what you connect with and what you resonate with. And I think if people seek that out and keep searching for that, like you said, you're still kind of looking, you're still open to the idea that maybe there is some other aspect or some different thing. But I think the idea is, if you're in that space, if you're looking, you're searching, even if you're already practicing in a sense where you're a energy worker or whatever, a healer, whatever you want to call it, really just allowing for the truth behind it all. Because that's what I found was, you know, Theta just was truth for me, and it really came from the process of working with myself and it strengthened my connection to the universe and to spirituality and to all of my own kind of beliefs. And let's talk about beliefs, because my beliefs have changed significantly in the time that you and I've known each other. It was one of those things where when I first met you, I was a skeptic. I came into the space of like, I don't know what to expect, but I'm not going to really allow myself too much space to expand because all of this seemed really crazy and out there. I mean, you have a share group that you host, and that's where we came. My mom dragged me along. I say she dragged me along, but I came willingly to a certain extent. And that's the neat thing, is it's just a space where people are open enough and free enough to talk about anything and everything. And you guys would talk about some crazy shit that didn't make any sense to me. And I'm like, I don't know what any of this is. But then I start bits and pieces of it, letting it in and kind of expanding and allowing it. In that process, my beliefs, have changed significantly. Where even like 5 years ago, I didn't have my own personal belief of the universe and energy and things like that. And how did your beliefs change over your journey and over your path? And because I think it's something that always is changing and kind of evolving. But do you remember, like, what was one of the really big things that just kind of shifted for you where you're like, I'm going to get rid of that belief because now I feel and see so much more?
That's a really good question. I'm going to say one of the biggest things for me was that I was a very, very quiet, very shy person. And it was kind of like, we know Alice is over there somewhere, but she's fine. Don't worry about her. She's okay. I was comfortable in that space because my biggest fear was that, what if I say something and I'm wrong? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. I'll just keep my thoughts to myself. And I would listen to other people. And in my mind, I'd always think, that's not right. This is what is right. But I would be like, well, I'm not saying anything, because then that would make them wrong. And, oh no, I'm not going there. So I was a very quiet person. As I started working through my beliefs, and I'm going to say fears are a big part of our beliefs, what it was that I feared, what was the worst thing that could happen if I spoke my truth. And so there was a part of me that had to be with that. So some of the things are so big that you have to kind of, I'm going to say, be with it, process it. And you have to keep asking yourself that same question if you don't have the answer. Like, what's the worst thing that could happen to me if I spoke my truth?
Yeah.
And so that was huge. And again, my validation of that was that people that I had not seen, like say in a year, 2 years, and I would meet with them, they would say, there is something so different about you. What is it? What's different about you, Alice? And I'd say, I talk more. And they'd go, it's more than that. And again, the example of my husband saying, I don't know what you're doing, but you float through the house. All of it, so many parts and pieces of you start to change and shift. And some things are silly, genetic, historical beliefs that you can so easily release. And other things are things that they're the core of who you are. And you really have to look at them and say, wow, if I wasn't that, what would I be?
Yeah.
Right? And I can also just validate that for every fear or every one of those blocks that I really processed and opened my heart and said, I'm ready to let this one go. I don't need to be afraid. I have a truth within me and my truth can be heard. So in that process, when that happens, there's a gift. There's always a gift. Like, okay, I walked through that terrible fear. I spoke my truth. And look how beautiful this event just turned out. Or look how that something that I've stuffed in my tummy and carried around that hurts all the time is now gone. Because it wasn't about attacking someone. It wasn't about saying you're wrong and I'm right. It was about my truth. This is me and this is what I feel. And I have to say that was the most liberating, amazing experience. And that just made everything else like, bring it on. I'm ready now.
Yeah, I had that same experience. Well, not that same experience, but I had that same thought too, where it's like, I'm just going to believe everything. I just, you know, I experienced enough things and had enough things happen. And I'm like, I'm just going to open up and believe everything, even the really crazy stuff that makes no sense and is really out there. I'm just going to believe it. And then the universe gave you a whole bunch more. And then it's like, well, sweet. Here's a whole bunch more things for you to think about and believe in and ponder and all that kind of stuff. At what point did you take your experience and not just theta, but some of the other things that you kind of learned and start working with clients? Do you remember at what point or how long you kind of...
So I'm going to say my journey began in 1994. And a lot of that was the reading and going to trainings and things like that. It was in 2001, the very beginning of the year, that I decided, like, now it's time. I have all of this stuff bubbling inside of me and I so want to share it. And then I engaged in all of the teacher trainings. And here's a really silly thing in my mind. Like when you say you try to explain theta to someone, It was like, I can't put out a banner that says theta healer because nobody, I'm pretty sure, won't come. They'll just go, weird, what's that? And so in my little logical mind, I said, I bet if I go to massage school, people go for massages. They know what that is. It's comfortable. I'll become a massage therapist, but my whole goal behind a massage therapist will be to do energy work. And People will then get comfortable with it, say, what is that? And I can open up and explain, and it will just grow. So I did my massage training and started off down that path. But I really, really quickly discovered that the first time you shared with somebody this, like, you know, here's what I'm picking up and would you like to work on that? Like, people weren't asking me for massages. They were just asking to come and have a session.
Yeah.
So my perception of what I thought I had to be was, again, wrong. And it's just, and I'm going to say word of mouth has been most productive for me. I still find I'm a marketer, so I know advertising, that's my corporate career path. But when it comes to this kind of stuff, it's like you need a new vocabulary of words to describe it to someone. Like, yeah, the things we have all have belief systems attached to them. And people will either say, oh, that's bad. And it's not about they've had an experience that was bad. It's about that word brings up a historical belief that says that stuff is bad for you. Don't go there.
Yeah.
So I do believe that's one of the challenges that all energy workers face, is that it's, what's the wording? What's the new belief word that we can create something wonderful from? I think at some point in our history, we all had these amazing things, and it was just through people and power and sacrifice that it became a fear. Stay away from that, because if you go there, you may become powerful. And that's the last thing we want, is powerful people out there. We want followers. And so to be a follower, we must take away all this knowledge. It has to disappear. And so for me, for every piece of knowledge I have, I just think of it in terms of that is gaining back my place, my who I truly am and how powerful I can be. And it's all about your knowledge, and it's all about what you're open to experience and grow in.
So you start working with clients back in 2001, and then you're, like you said, you had the idea of, well, I'm going to go through that avenue of massage because that's going to be more easily acceptable. At what point did you kind of cross over to where you started teaching and offering trainings and theta and different things like that? How long down your path before you started doing that stuff?
Well, the share group that I have is like, it's a follow-on to a group that's in Salt Lake, And they are called Tatwick Tides. And there was this amazing lady named Judy Thatcher who hosted and ran the Tatwick Tides group. And again, this is part of me expanding in my, like, who wants to hear what I have to say, this space. So I'm still at the beginning of my journey and working through that and thinking, yeah, I'm doing some of my own personal truths and this feels good. But I start going to this group because I also want to learn more and expand. And Judy says to me, so Alice, tell us all about Theta Healing. And I just went, what? You got the wrong person. And I just was sitting there shaking my head at her. No, no, no. And she said, you know what? I'm not going to put you on the spot this week, but next week I want you to come prepared to share Theta Healing with us. So I'm like, all righty then, I'll work on that. So I had a whole week to get ready and I went back and I shared and I kind of had people experience it. Like, let's be in a circle. Let's, you know, let's tap into this Theta Healing and let's try a practice where we let's get to that space. And all of a sudden I had people coming up to me saying, can you teach me more? Can you teach me more? I would really like to learn about this. And Judy goes, oh, sure. Alice will have a class for you next month. And I went, oh my gosh. So I have to bless Judy because she was that pusher behind me that said, I know you can do it. So go do it.
Yeah.
But once that opened, it just seemed like, you know, I just thought, oh, that was a one-time deal and that was wonderful. But it was like then someone would hear about it and say, when's your next class? Or I missed that class. When are you having another one? And it's just been amazing. But the, you know, to be able to keep that going. So every year, at least once, usually twice a year, I offer a series of classes. So it's my passion. It's my favorite place to be. So I'm just really thankful that that has unfolded for me and been able to continue.
Yeah. And we've got the next one coming up like June 25th, right?
That's correct.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. That's exciting. I loved going through and learning Theta. And I mean, I think we could sit here and probably talk about Theta all day long and all the different avenues and aspects of it and all the cool shit that it does and all that. Because the reality is you can use Theta to do a whole bunch of stuff. But we got to talk about other stuff. I want to get into some... Because you and I have really good conversations at times where we're kind of just expanding upon our own beliefs and different thought processes and things like that. And one of the things that we've talked about in the last few months at like Share Group and at stuff that you and I've talked about before too is the idea and the concept behind our DNA, what it holds, what's there, how you can kind of expand upon it and activate it and watch your DNA kind of grow and evolve. Because you have really great insight and really great kind of ideas. And that's the other cool thing I think when I talk with you about stuff is it never feels to me like you're telling me something like this is exactly what it is. Do you know what I mean? You're not preaching from a pulpit and spouting out dogma. It's like these are ideas and thoughts, and by all means, take them and make them your own and see what resonates and connects with you. But tell me some of your ideas and thoughts when it comes to our DNA and what that really entails.
I would love to. To me, it's complex. Mm-hmm. So if I think of our computers, it is our internal computer. And it can run wild programs throughout your life and control you and put you in places you don't want to be. And you can always say, why me? And oh my gosh. But there is this piece that says, I'm the computer operator. And you know what? I want a new program. And I want a program that has these elements in it. And I want a program where I'm no longer struggling. I want a program where I'm no longer the victim. I want to program myself to be an amazing person. And in my studies, when we look at the empty space beside our two strands of our physical DNA and the potentials of what that holds and what that means, I'm the kind of person that, wow, I could say, you know, we really have this full circle of 12 strands of DNA and they do these amazing things and we really need to work with them and tap into them because they're the energy layers of us and we are all energy. Everything on this planet really has an energy, a vibration to it. And it's just coming, I'm going to say in a way, pushing back emotion a little bit to say, if I'm a computer and I have my zeros and my ones to run my program, there's not emotion in here, but how does that look? How does that work? And I was going to say, behind that, although it's a program, we are here on this planet to experience through our five senses everything, which creates an energy of emotion that's very close to our physical bodies. And it's sometimes very difficult to push it aside. It's all around us. It's everywhere. Yeah. It's energy, and we can't escape it. But to embrace it, that would be the word I would use. To say, I understand I have these emotions, but if I can understand them, if I have knowledge about them, I can reprogram that emotion. I can channel that emotion to a place that's healthy for me instead of not healthy for me. And so understanding the layers of the DNA, what each one represents, and kind of that's, to me, that's the blueprint or the physical, is because we are linear people and we have to go, first I do this, then I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this. It's just a way to lay it out. I think the biggest challenge when we talk about energy or DNA, it's so multi-layered, it's so multi-dimensional, but to bring it into an aspect of conversation means I have to look at this one little piece so that I can talk about this, and then yes, it can overlay all the other stuff,
yeah.
But I need to understand this piece, and then I need to understand this next piece. So I think that's kind of my thought process, and when I engage in conversations, it's because I know that everyone around me is going to add to my thought process,
mm-hmm.
and that's my knowledge, and that's, so it's like saying, I'm going to take this little tiny thing, but with all of your information, we are going to become amazing about this.
Yeah.
So to me, that's what DNA is. We have some little pieces of it that we can look at and talk about, but then that's the expansion, is that conversation that we all have. That says, well, maybe it could be this, and maybe it could be that, and we all open up to possibility.
Do you think, because we've talked before too, do you think as a whole, as a human race, as people on this planet, do you think that our DNA is different, like vastly different from, you know, 5,000 years ago or 10,000 years ago? Do you think that our DNA has evolved as a human race over that time span? Like, is it different now as kids being born today than it was 100 years ago or 200 years ago?
Again, I mean, these are topics that, you know, you have your own belief systems about, yeah. And I'm sure everyone has a different aspect. So I can only share my own.
Exactly.
But for my own, I believe there was a time on this planet when our DNA was fully activated, that we were amazing. We had it all. And then I believe that based off of human choice, wanting more, ego, all those emotional things that get evolved in it, it changed. And not just like from, you know, today to tomorrow, whoops, it's changed. It was a process that we went through that said, well, you're no longer using that bar of your DNA, so let's just turn it off. And you've quit using that bar of your DNA, let's just turn it off. And so I think we became, and again, it's just through habit, day-to-day life, events that go on, but things, I'm sure it's changed.
Uh-huh.
When I look at the children being born today, when I look at all of the astrological and scientific and my own energy feelings of how the earth is changing and the feelings upon our planet, looking at the children who are born today, it's like if creation had a plan, it was like, let's open up those switches and see what they do this time. So I look at those little babies and those young children and say, I just want to be around to watch what they do. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Because they come in, they're so much more open. They're so much more connected. And I think that even us as a population are being more open to supporting our children, not chasing away what they perceive to be real and saying, oh, that's not, don't talk about that, push that away. That I'm seeing parents be more open to that my child is special and my child has gifts. And I'm not going to say anything to this child that would take away from that. So that part of it I see is we're stopping that process of pushing people down and saying, you must follow, you must follow.
Stifling
that. And we're opening that up. And the minute we do that, then it opens up potentials. The DNA shifts, things, you know, that's, it's energy. The computer reprograms and said, I have potential here. I can do this. So I think watching our young children growing up, we're just going to see some amazing things happening.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. If somebody, like what would be, somebody came to you, or even if you were talking to somebody and they were really interested and curious about learning more when it came to the whole concept and idea of DNA in relation to energy in the universe and activating your DNA and the different parts and different aspects, where would you tell them to go? Like, what would be a good resource for them to seek out and kind of look into it more?
I would start by saying Lee Carroll, who is a channeler of an entity called Kryon, has amazing information about the DNA layers, activating them, opening them, the how-tos, the why is it, and why is this potential available to us now. So that's a really, really good starting place. Again, after reading one source, I would say go for validation. Greg Braden is a very scientific gentleman, and he really compliments Lee Carroll in his scientific side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's many, many other authors out there. Those are two that just come to my mind that say, you know, those are really good starting places. But there is a lot being written about our DNA. Even our scientists are saying, wait, we're seeing things happening here we can't explain. We know there's more to this story. We just can't prove it now. So again, it's a melding of saying, even science, who is very black and white, that says, if I can't see it, it's not happening. They know things that they can't see are happening. So again, yeah, it just opens us up to all this amazing potential.
I love when I come across some article or something online or something where there, you know, you have a science study or somebody comes out and says, we've done X, Y, and Z, but we don't have an explanation for it. Like when they talk about, it's not dark matter. It's the
quantum field.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they have all this stuff that they're really looking into and researching and trying to run studies and tests so that they can explain things away. And I just kind of laugh and chuckle. And I'm like, you don't have to have this specific explanation where it's so black and white. It's just energy. It just makes perfect sense. But I love when I come across stuff, and they really are doing way more stuff, you know, in advancement in regards to all these different fields and all this different stuff, and even studies around energy work. And really, because I think for a long time it had that stigma attached to it that it just was out there and crazy stuff and it wasn't real. And now they do studies where it's like, well, we have some, I'm rambling, but talk about, because you know more. Sometimes, most of the time, you have a better understanding. I just sit and ramble about things because my brain goes crazy. But when they hook people up and look at their brains through MRIs or different type of, you know, ways to study and analyze their brain, you can really see activity involved in their brain. I was listening to this thing when I was driving up here, and they were talking about the pineal gland. And tell me about that from your perspective and your point of view, because that, like, your third eye holds a lot of energy and they can look at it and they can see.
Absolutely.
I don't know if there was really a question there. I just rambled, but by all means.
And I'm going to say, I don't feel strongly in a knowledge base of the brain and how it works.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to be an expert, but I will tell you, through witnessing and viewing, our pineal gland, our amygdala, our hippocampus, all of those, that very center of our brain, becomes so, I was going to say, it can be dormant. And I can also say that when people start doing energy work, when they start doing that third eye work, when they start moving themselves into a space of visioning and connecting, watching that part of the brain, it's like I see expansion. And I'm just going to put this out there, and I can't prove it today, but maybe science will prove it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the more we're connecting, the more we're changing our vibration, which is, again, just energy, we are expanding and growing that space. It's getting larger. If you were to say it, you know, like the pineal gland is the size of a pea. But I would bet if you really had someone who is really, really into energy work, and at their autopsy you checked it, it would be much bigger than a normal size.
Yeah.
So I see that as that's that mind expansion that is physically taking place within people who are opening up to this higher vibration, who are practicing and who are, I'm going to say, changing their belief systems and allowing more to come into them.
Yeah, it would be really interesting. Like, I'd love to be able to see, like you said, mind, and see if mine has kind of grown and expanded. And because I think about all the crazy shit that I think about now, and it's like, it's got to be doing something up there because it's weird stuff. What's something right now in your space, in your thought process, that you're super curious about or questioning or wondering about?
I was going to say, that was just like opening up a floodgate. You want to know all the things I wonder about? For me, it's a daily thing. So I can ponder a question in meditation, and then, you know, like, it's like you've opened a floodgate and all these possibilities start flowing in for you to filter through and look at. And so for me, it's really kind of a continuous loop. But
do you have one that you're like really kind of, when I say solidifying in your beliefs, like do you have something right now that you have been pondering and thinking about and allowing into your space that's really starting to take shape and form as far as like, this is something that I'm really starting to believe?
I'll say the example that I'll give you, because this is just, it's been part of the journey. So mm-hmm. we all get ourselves all involved, and we create in our minds, like, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and at the end of the day, it's going to look like that, and I'm going to end up over here, and whatever that is. So I'm going to give you my example, and it's going to be a little bit like expanded, but let's just say that in my vision, I believed if I worked with people, if I taught people, that I would stand before thousands and I would share this information that's all bottled up inside of me that really wants to come out, but I don't know where to put it out to. But my belief system and my brain said, okay, well, you have to work really hard to make that happen. You got to do this, you got to do that, and it should look like this, and you should be at this point by about this time. And so again, that whole thing we fall into that says, you know, I got to go to work every day and I got to make this much money, and then that way I can buy that house. And so we get ourselves stuck in this rut of mm-hmm. what that looks like and what we're going to do. So I'm going to say, just, it was my expectation of what I thought it should look like. If I really stepped back and said, where is my life at today? I'd say, pretty rosy and pretty awesome. But that's not the vision I saw, because I was going to be here and I was going to be doing this. And again, moving myself into the future and saying, you know, where I'm at today is not good enough. And so events start happening that really validate that for you. Like, yep, there you go. You're stuck, you're stuck, you're stuck. And you're like, oh my gosh. And it was just that moment when, again, those, they are, they're big moments. They come. All of us will have them, and we'll have them for as long as we walk this planet. But it was to say, what happens if I give up that expectation? What if I just love today? And what if what I'm doing is absolutely perfect? It has no other purpose than what it is right now. It's not, I don't need that. And at the same time, there is a part in my meditation and prayer that says, if that's not it, that's fine. But here's components. So there needs to be an income, and I need to still love every day of my life. And I'm opening myself up for other possibilities instead of what I've held on to. Mm-hmm. And it was like, to me, sometimes those are the amazing things where you just want to say, can you believe that just happened? Because it was no more than a thought process and a prayer and a deep intention within my heart. And 2 days later, I get a call about going back to the corporate environment that I left 7 years ago. And I'm like, okay, well, there's that financial piece that says now I can just be happy where I'm at. So many things. And I'm going to say I could go, you know, each day, like this happened and this happened, yeah, and this has, it just unfolds. But that's what I would say is, like, the minute that you can really challenge a belief that you have, that expectation, let go of your expectation of that. And it's the hardest thing for us to do, because as much as we want to say we live in this now moment, we are constantly saying, oh, but wait a minute, what happens if I go over there? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if they take that away from me? Oh my gosh, that we... And in doing that, what we are doing is creating exactly that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I've put all that out there. Now all I have to do is take 3 steps and I'm going to be in it. Wow, that was amazing. But it is very, very hard as we live in this world and we watch the events that unfold around us and we have our connections and our emotional ties to family members and friends. It is very, very difficult to not be pulled into that. I will say that. And I think, to me, that's one of the things that requires constant work. There's no place that says, I have arrived. I've made it. Sorry for all the rest of you. Hope you make it soon. We will continue, because I think that is the energy of why we're here.
Yeah.
And it's just finding that space for us.
So you mentioned that that's kind of the reason why we're here. And so I want to talk about that. I want to talk about why you think we're here, what you think the purpose behind this whole experience on this planet as these human beings with all of these things really is. I'm going to share with you kind of one of the ideas that I have, because it's something that I think about often, like, you know, just in my life of daydreaming and things like that. So I'll share what I think. And this is not necessarily my solid belief, but this is one of the fun things that I think. I think that energy is emotion. And I think that's like the main frequency that it functions on. is just emotion. I mean, the Energy is Love podcast, so obviously I have a strong belief in that. But I think the reason we're here is because we created, and possibly we did, or something else did, or even just it was kind of pushed out of the minutiae of the universe. But we have this experience on this planet because we have such capacity for emotion on this planet, where we have capacity not just for love, but the whole spectrum of emotion. And in the process of feeling all of those emotions, we create energy. And that energy then goes through and expands the universe and kind of feeds the universe as like a fuel source. And so it's just the dynamic of, we're here on this planet because we created this experience to come down and have our five senses and be able to feel and experience and expand emotion, which then in turn feeds the spin of the universe. And that energy that is created by emotion is what spins the universe, which then kind of just works in that symbiotic relationship. So we created this planet so that we could come here, so that we could fuel the universe and expand it even more. And it's all just stemming around emotion and the way that we, because we do have a lot of emotion on this planet, not just love, but obviously anger and hate and rage and frustration. And there's, you know, a lot of emotion that happens on this planet on a daily basis. And so I think that's an idea that I have. What do you think about that?
I'd say we're probably on the same page. So I really do believe that your example is spot on. But then I would say, taking that just one step further, I say, well, why is it that it seems like there's so much more negative emotional energy than positive? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of an underlying question that I'm constantly going, I don't understand that. So why couldn't it just be positive energy? Why does it have to have all these negative elements? And again, they're the flow, you know, you have the high, and if you don't have the high, if it's all the time, you wouldn't know it was a high. So there's lows and there's highs. But if you really were to look at those waves, and I don't know if any of our viewers, but I would recommend getting to the Heart Math Institute, where they track kind of planet emotion. Mm-hmm. It's scientific. It's real. It's there. They can measure it. So it's a really good place to research and be kind of more in tune with what our emotional energies do on this planet.
Heart Math.
It's called the Heart Math Institute.
Heart Math Institute.
So it's very interesting if you kind of get into that stuff. But that aside, again, there's this underlying thing too that I say it's all about, they say we have free choice. So if yesterday was an absolutely terrible, low energy, negative day, I have a choice when I wake up the next day to say, I'm not repeating that. Or I have a choice to say, based on doing absolutely nothing, guaranteed, I'm going to have the same crappy day I had yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I think because of habit, because of, I mean, you know, if you look at the way our planet evolves, the way the weather comes, all those things were made to disrupt our happy state of I'm flat and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
To say, oh my gosh, this terrible storm came, but now am I going to stay down here in this negative, awful energy of that storm? Or do I know a better place to be? And can I get back up to that high vibrational place that felt so good and rebuild and move my life? And it could be the timing. It could be a lot of things. I don't have an explanation for that. But it just seems like as this planet has evolved and moved on, more and more people find it just, it's too much work to get back to that happy place.
Yeah.
I'm just going to sit here in this tar pit and play in the gunk and complain about everything. And so I look at our planet and I say, I'm not quite sure what all that negative energy creates in the universe, which is sometimes in my mind scary. Like, that's not a good thing. I know it's not. And then what are the things that we as people on this planet can do that will get us back up to that high place? And I believe over all these thousands of years that we have evolved, we've spent enough time in the lower vibrations. So it's time. It's time for our planet to experience those higher vibrations. I'm really grateful when I see those positive posts out there on Facebook or whatever. It's disheartening when people use it as a complaining tool because there's no resolve to it. It's like, yeah, I can either jump in your pity party with you or just go delete. I love seeing all the positive aspects. Our musicians, so many people out there are really pushing that vibration up. So I think there are many people who have come to this planet and they know what the potentials are. And all we have to do is choose that, because we are a free choice.
Yeah. And the time that you've been in the realm of working with energy and everything like that, like you said, you kind of happened upon it back in like 94, 95, and then you kind of started. Have you seen not just the ways that energy has shifted and changed, but kind of the way that people are working with it differently? Like, have you seen it evolve in the time that you've been in it for like the last 20 years?
I'm going to say evolving to the aspect of, I think there's some core energy processes, ways to connect.
Uh-huh.
And I've watched people say, you know, like, well, I took that class and I want to teach it, but I can't teach that class. So I'm going to call my class this, and I'm going to add in these five things. And now it's something new and different for everybody to try. So a lot of things just, they come from some very ancient, I think. So I truly believe in my heart that the information of long, long ago is still there. It still resonates in parts and pieces of our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. We need to learn how to tap into that knowledge and that information. And I think some people, rather, it's not like a mental, like, I've thought about this, I've worked on this, and I've created this. It's just, it's there, and it may appear in just the way that we present ourselves or the way that we create our energy stamp, in a way, let's say. And it's all connected, lots of different ways. Saying, have I seen things change? I'm just going to say that it used to be that if you wanted to work with an energy worker, you had to know somebody that knew somebody, because that was never public information.
Yeah.
And it would be scary for it to be public information. That field is growing. There used to be one or two psychic fairs a year, and now you can find something almost every weekend.
Yeah.
So it's growing. There's more people stepping into that space. And that, to me, is, that's just all of that. That's just more and more people creating that positive energy, that, you know, assisting other people to find that positive energy. So I just embrace it and say, you know, whatever the means are, it's awesome and it's wonderful.
Do you want to share one of the, because I'm certain that you've had many, 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 but do you want to share one of the kind of coolest experiences that you've had through, and it could be in your own space, it could be through working with a client or something like that, but just one of the coolest experiences that you've had with energy, whether it be, I don't know, the biggest shift and change that you've seen, or just like the craziest shit that you've seen when you've worked with energy and stuff like that.
Okay. What pops into my mind is a client that I worked with, because this was probably as amazing to me as it was to this person.
Uh-huh.
She had been in a vehicle accident, and her parents had called me and said, you know, she was in a really bad accident, and we're going to be bringing her home, but we're just wondering if you could help her out. She's just, you know, the accident happened because of a divorce and some bad things going on in her life. And so it was just emotionally, and it was devastating. So as I'm working with this person, I always start with the reading, and I'm saying, you know, and it's very visual. You've got a cast on your leg. But I said, they don't know if you're going to walk. And she said, yeah, I completely severed my foot off, so I'll probably walk with a limp the rest of my life. And I said, do you believe that? And she said, I don't want to believe that. And I said, well, then let's make sure that's not a belief, that because the doctor told you that, that's what we're going to do. Let's just see that leg being perfect. And she said, well, I can do that, I guess. Just see it healing. And I'm like, yeah, that'll be perfect. And as I'm working with her, I also asked her, I said, did they tell you that your back is broken? And she's like, no, nobody ever told me that. My back really hurts, but I think it's just the accident. And I said, well, I'm not going to say it is or it isn't, but let's just validate it. Next time you go to the doctor, ask him to x-ray your back.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, well, I go tomorrow, so I will. So I'm running energy. And one thing that I know is when you're connected with energy and you're connected with vibration, healing bones is like the most amazing thing you can possibly do. So I was kind of like, I've got this one. This is going to be cool. So she had her down just above her ankle had completely broken off. She had the top of her leg and her thigh, her femur bone was broken. She had messed up her shoulder, her elbow, and her wrist. So all of that was in a big sling and a cast. So I'd go down each day and we'd run energy. But the amazing thing was when she went to the doctor and asked for a back x-ray, he told her absolutely not. She had just been to an ER. They had checked her from head to toe, and there was absolutely no reason to take an x-ray. So she kind of came home and in tears called me and said, they won't do it. They won't give me an x-ray. And I said, well, we'll just do lots of energy work on it and just see if we can get your back feeling better. So we continued this. And when she went back in for her next set of x-rays to see how things were going, she came home and called me and she said, I'm going to just blow you away today. Number one, when I went in for x-rays, I asked the technician if she would please take a picture of my back. And as the doctor's going through the x-rays, he goes, what's this back x-ray in here for? And I said, because I asked for one. And he looked at it and he said, oh my God, your back is broken. And she said, so you were right. They were wrong and you were right. I can't believe it. And I'm like, well, that's not a good thing to believe. But I really wish that doctors would work with psychic people.
Yeah.
It would be so awesome. But the second part of that is she said, he can't believe how fast my bones are healing. He said, I don't know what you're doing, but I've never seen anybody heal this quickly. Where that ankle was severed, he said, I can barely see the separation points anymore. So kind of bad news, good news.
Your back's broken, but your ankle's better.
And then I'm just going to end it with saying she was a jogger and today she's out jogging. She said that, you know, a little bit of back pain is the only thing that she really experiences. So
that's awesome.
Those kind of things are when you just go, this is the funnest, coolest stuff you could ever possibly do.
Yeah. And it's like we talked about in the beginning. I mean, really, Alice isn't some magical healing medicine woman. She just gets to sit back and witness and watch that experience. And that's the cool, cool thing. And I think people need to understand that too, because people will hear that story and they'll think that, first off, it, you know, they won't believe it or they'll doubt it or they'll question it or something like that. But if you have an experience where you can connect to that source of energy where stuff like that can and does happen, then it makes believing that incredibly easy, because you just realize that, oh yeah, anything's possible. And that person probably, I'm certain that that person played a big role. Do you know what I mean? Because it has to do with that individual's mindset as well. Where they have to be able to hold space in that place as well and stay not just in positive thought, but allow for that experience to happen. They can't sit there with a skeptical mind while you're moving energy and doing your thing and expect that, you know, it's going to magically heal themselves. But that's a good story. I like that one. What else do you want to talk about? Like, what's in your head? What are you thinking?
You know, I think the only thing I would like to share, and that is to our audience out there, is that I would love to challenge each and every one of you to just start looking at what is it you believe and what things are you willing to say, wow, maybe this could be done differently. How could I think of this different? How could I change this up? How could I move this experience to a different place? So I would do that. And in the essence of doing that, a lot of people, because I ask this question to all my clients, like, who are you? What are you? What do you want? And I will tell you that probably 90% look at me with a little big question in their forehead, like, what are you asking me? I don't know. And that's usually the answer I get. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I would just challenge each and every one of you, write down those three questions and ask yourself, who am I? What am I? And what do I want? And even if the only thing you want is, you know, to have a really nice Sunday steak dinner with lobster, I don't care. It's that you have a thought in your mind of something that you want to create for yourself. And we have to be in that space to make anything happen. You can't move through life saying, I don't know, just whatever's going to happen to me will happen to me and I'll deal with it when it happens to me. That's not taking ownership of your power, your energy, or your gifts. So every day you have to get up and say, what do I want today? Make it something small. And when it happens, clap your hands, laugh, slap yourself on the back, because that's the knowingness that you created that. You create each day exactly your day, and good or bad. And that's the bad part, is sometimes we don't want to own those bad days. We want to say, somebody did this to me, that happened, that's why I'm here. But truly, you're the only one. Only you can turn that around, can let that go, and by your choice say, that may have just happened to me, but I'm done with that. Let's move on to something better. So today, I want this amazing thing to happen. And that is the practice. That is the practice that each and every one of us have to be in at all times. And the only thing I'll promise you is if you pay attention and if you put intention out there, your life's going to change dramatically. And there are many, many people who have been on this journey who will even say, if you thought that was cool, try this. And you can just grow and expand in so many ways. And that's, I think, anyone that sits on this side of the microphone and talks with Craig in this aspect of energy, it would be all of our wishes that everyone just moves forward in that positive energy space.
Yeah. Just let yourself expand. So your website's energyhealing.org, right?
Correct.
And then you're on Facebook as well. There's a Facebook page for Energy. That's where you guys can go and learn more about Alice, not just about the classes that she hosts and teaches and things like that, but it's a great way to reach out and contact her. And then they can also reach you through there if they want to come schedule a session or they want to come see you as well, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I'm just going to make one other little note, because when I say inner chi, a lot of people will go, how do you spell that? What is that? So think of inner, inside yourself, I-N-N-E-R, and C-H-I. Some people say chai, but it's chi. And that's how you'll find me, inner chi healing.
Energyhealing.org. Well, thank you so much, Alice. I wish we could sit here, and we probably could sit here. We'll probably do another episode in 6 months, and we'll be able to sit down and chat some more and everything like that. But I really, really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been fun and awesome.
Good. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the Energy is Love podcast. Everybody go out and have a wonderful day. Go seek out something. Go expand your mind. Go search. Go just ask the universe a question and then sit back and wait for it to happen. But have a beautiful day.
What? You got the wrong person. Healing bones is like the most amazing thing you can possibly do. Of who am I? What am I? And what do I want? Bring it on. I'm ready now.